Welcome back, everyone. Chris Matthew with Forbidden Knowledge News, and I am happy to welcome Billy Carson. He is founder of Forbidden Knowledge, Inc., the best-selling author of the Compendium of the Emerald Tablets, expert host on Deep Space, as well as Gaia's original series, Ancient Civilizations. He is also the CEO of First Class Space Agency, based in Fort Lauderdale. Billy, welcome. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks so much. I always love having you on. Every presentation I've heard from you was mind-blowing, including at last year's Forbidden Knowledge NewsCon. I'm looking forward to your presentation this year, Proof of Alien Life in Our Solar System. Yeah, I'd love for you to give us a little teaser about it.
Sure, absolutely. You know, there are a lot of space missions and probes that have gone out over the last few decades into space right here from Earth. I'm talking about European Space Agency, NASA, the Russian Space Agency, the Chinese Space Agency, even the Indian Space Agency. And they have sent back the most amazing anomalies in these images. Now, they have obfuscated a lot of images, but they can't get it all. It's just so much. There's so much proof of life in our solar system. And even with their best editors and techs and their best software, they try to just mass erase as many things as look like, you know, intelligently created as possible. They still can't get to everything. And so we do a painstaking technique to go through every single image and analyze it centimeter by centimeter, and then bring out the actual anomalies that are still left in the images. And in some cases, they don't even touch them up. They just go, you know what? People are too lazy, or they're not going to have time. They're worried about their kids and school and work and everything else. They don't have time to go through these images. So a lot of them, believe it or not, I would say at least one third of them have not been touched at all. And even from this brand new Perseverance rover that just landed a couple of months ago, we have found the most amazing anomalies and proof of life in our solar system. And I'm going to take you on a journey from Mercury. I'm going to show anomalies. Venus, I'm going to show anomalies clear as day. I'm going to take you, of course, to our moon, to Mars, to the planet Ceres, to the moon Titan, and also to Pluto. And I'm going to bring you enough circumstantial evidence to show that there is proof of life in this solar system right now today.
Now, yeah, I'm glad you said right now today, because a lot of researchers have shown some anomalies on, you know, different planets and the moon in the past, and showing that they may have been ancient civilizations. But you're saying that this could be possible proof of life ongoing right now, right?
Absolutely. You know, I can understand a lot of the things that we've seen look like broken statues or heads of statues. Some of the stuff I'm going to show you is going to appear to look like the statue, if that's what it is, has turned to look at the camera or has crouched down to hide from the camera. And so I don't know what kind of artist they may have had on some of these planets and moons, but why would you want to create something that looks like it's trying to turn to look or hide? That's kind of a weird thing to carve or etch. So I really do believe that these anomalies potentially are people. And we even have some people that assume that seem to be, unfortunately, not with us anymore, but the remnants or the remains of them are laying out there. So we're going to show this, and I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised. You know, we're going to turn our eyes away from looking 20 million light years away to, you know, exoplanets, and start realizing that right above our heads, there could be people going through a daily life cycle just like we are.
That is going to be awesome. I can't wait for that. Before I let you go, I want to get your thoughts on everything that's happening right now with the mainstream disclosure. I mean, it's gotten kind of strange what's happened in the past few years, you know, starting off with 2017, the New York Times big article. And then in 2020, we have, you know, of course, the pandemic, but all this craziness with UFOs starts stemming out from the mainstream media, from the Pentagon. Yeah. What do you think the urgency is to kind of speed up this? It's still slow drip disclosure, but it's kind of seemed to be urgent recently.
Yeah, well, you know, what happened is we got fed up. We, meaning the United States, American people, got fed up with the war in Iraq, the war against Afghanistan, or, you know, controlling the poppy fields and bringing back the stuff that's going on over there to America. And so that war has come to a decline. And when the war starts to slow down, it's like the stock market, it starts to crash, the money starts to dry up. So, you know, they were looking to go and do something else, in my opinion. But then you had the pandemic hit, shut the whole world down. And so now the war machine literally dried out completely. And so the next big move you have to make is you have to, since there's no other country to go after at this particular moment, there's no reason to fabricate any kind of war. You have to go into space. And so I do believe that there's a lot of UFOs here that are from other planets or other dimensions. And I also believe that a lot of the tech that we have seen, you know, is partly from us. High tech, black budget operations being partly exposed to the general public, either for fun or to start to arouse us to the reality that these things are here. But I really do feel that there's an agenda to maybe potentially do something that's going to create fear and panic so that we can all get behind the war machine again, and the new war will be against invaders from space. I do believe that there's people coming here and going all the time from space. And unfortunately, based off of my research and some documentaries that I've been in, it appears that we keep trying to use scalar weapons and different types of weapons to bring them down so that we can take advantage of their technology, reverse engineer it, create our own tech from it. And the fact that we're still here breathing after doing that so many times since the 1940s, it shows me that these beings, at least the ones that have been interacting here, are coming back and forth, aren't looking to annihilate us, because they could have done it in a blink of an eye. It won't be like a movie where you see guns blazing and laser beams and all that kind of stuff. It'll literally be just blink, you know, drop something in the atmosphere that just, takes care of everybody at one time. Or something so simple, a frequency that just does it all at once. There, you know, some of these people are out there a million years ahead of us. They're not going to use guns and laser beams to kill everybody on the planet. That's a slow, old-fashioned way. Probably wouldn't even work. So the fact that we're still here tells me a lot. It tells me that there's a lot of good out there. And unfortunately, it seems like, just my personal opinion, it's an agenda to get the fear pumped. They're attacked. There's a national security threat. They're buzzing our marine, our ships in the ocean. They're doing this, they're doing that. And I really believe that all they're doing, like when they came to the nuclear silos 20 years ago, they shut all the nukes off. They're letting us on, like, guys, don't try it. We're not going to play this kind of game. And so, but we're manufacturing. I think they're manufacturing a fake war. And the war would be to space. They could then generate a lot of money by getting the citizens to back them, to generate money for weapons that can go into space, for more space type weaponry and more space research and more black budget projects outside of the public domain. And when we can't say, where did the $20 trillion go? Because they're going to say, oh, we put it to the Space Force. We put it to protecting the planet. So I think it's just another way to generate a lot of money, even though they know they're real. But they're also enhancing it and injecting a little bit of that fear factor so that we can get behind them, so they can actually get a lot more money. And so I think that's why you see a lot more of it being put out right now. It's all about generating the fear, 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 fear. So when they go to suck the money, there's no questions being asked.
No, I would have to agree with you on that one. I've been thinking the same exact thing. Well, Billy, I'm looking forward to meeting you in Laughlin. That's going to be great. Hanging out with you, seeing your presentation. Now, you actually have a website where people can get a little teaser of some of these anomalies and images, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Go to forbiddenknowledge.com, and or you can go on Facebook. We have a lot of Facebook groups, but if you go to Facebook and look for the Mars Anomalies group, you'll find a lot of their Martian Genesis group on Facebook. We'll let you in over there. You can see some of the anomalies there as well.
Awesome. Yeah, go check those out. And Billy, I can't wait to meet you in Laughlin and also meet all of you. We will see you in Laughlin. Hello again, everyone. Chris Matthew with Forbidden Knowledge News. Today, I am happy to welcome Trey Hudson. He is the director of the Oxford Paranormal Society and its Anomalous Studies and Observation Group, which is ASOG. He is an Eagle Scout and former Army intelligence officer. He has 30-plus year career as a U.S. government security specialist specializing in security of sensitive assets, anti-terrorism, security of WMD, emergency management, and other specialties. James, welcome. How are you doing?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you for having me.
It's going to be a great time in Laughlin. I can't wait to meet you. You have a very fascinating background as well. What brought you to start working with the paranormal field?
Oh, well, I was a child of the 70s, and I grew up watching In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy. So I just really became interested in the paranormal, and went to university in a university that was a little bit more open to that kind of things. The University of West Georgia had some, one of our faculty members was the world famous parapsychologist, William Roll, Dr. Bill Roll was there. So, you know, I just, I've always been interested in this stuff and decided to join the Oxford Paranormal Society in Alabama, which was in existence in 2006. And I took over directorship of that organization a few years later, and then have spun off the Anomalous Studies and Observation Group to dig down really into the extreme weird stuff. And that's how we've been investigating the meadow, as we call it, which is very similar to Utah's Skinwalker Ranch. You know, we have a lot of the same kind of phenomena going on in this undisclosed location somewhere in America's Southland. And the really cool thing for the people that will be at the conference in June is I will be releasing for the first time publicly some absolutely amazing footage of things, to my knowledge, that have never been seen before. Video of a portal and people disappearing into that portal. FLIR footage of anomalous beings. UFO footage and a lot of other things that's wrapped into a presentation that covers our investigations of this very unique site.
Now, you mentioned it was an undisclosed location. Will this location be disclosed anytime in the future? Do you know?
No, and I'll tell you why. And the reason, and I have a very logical reason for that, is a lot of the very unique locations throughout the world, and also here in the U.S. I'll give you some examples: Skinwalker Ranch, some of the locations in Sedona, Mesa Verde, and other places, once their locations become public, you have people just swarming that area. And it makes it very difficult, if not impossible, to do meaningful research. A good example of that is I've tried researching with some other groups that I work with up in the Uwari National Forest. And that area has become so well known for a Bigfoot that when you're out there researching, you don't know if you're hearing, you know, a cryptid, or you're hearing another researcher, or that hominid figure you've seen in your FLIR camera is actually something, or somebody else looking at you thinking the same thing. And it just becomes very cumbersome and convoluted. So what we've decided to do is to keep this location secret. And that's not out of any maliciousness on our part, but it's just a way to try to keep the site as pristine and as inviolate as possible. What we are doing, however, is while we do keep the location on the down low, everything that has happened, I'm disclosing to the public. Everything that we've experienced is in my book, and I will be touching on that partially. I can't go into the whole book, but I'll be going over some of the highlights at the conference, because that's not my story. That's the world's story, and it deserves to be told.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. And you mentioned some of the phenomenon that occurs there, like portals. And you mentioned that it's similar to Skinwalker Ranch. So I'm assuming they have a gamut of phenomenon like UFOs,
yes,
ghosts, cryptids, yes, Bigfoot, yes, all these strange, yep, creatures.
Yeah, and that's the neat thing about this place is, you know, how do you approach it? You know, do you approach it as a ufologist? Do you approach it as a cryptid researcher? Do you approach it as a paranormal investigator? My background's primarily as a paranormal investigator. And the answer to that is yes and no. You can't put it into a box. It's everything and all of those things, oftentimes all in the, sometimes in the same trip or the same expedition. So you have to have a very open mind. You have to have a very large box of tools to pull your investigative tools out of. And you have to have a very diverse and talented team.
Yeah, and that's what's cool about the upcoming Laughlin Conference is it's going to kind of bring together a wide range of researchers and scientists, you know, people that focus on the consciousness side, people that focus on ufology, people that focus on paranormal. So it's going to be really interesting to see what everybody has to bring together. And I love places like this, like places of hotspots, you know, of hotspots of paranormal activity, and it contains UFOs and all this stuff that can be, you know, kind of put together into the same category, but it fits a wide range of phenomenon. So I'm very much looking forward to that.
Oh, me too. And, you know, I'm very excited to present at the conference, and it's a unique and distinct honor, but you can ask my wife. I'm also really geeked out about it just to meet everybody, you know, to meet other presenters, and probably even more so to meet the attendees, to actually get to talk to people and hear their unique experiences, because, you know, my experiences in no way is singular. You know, everybody out there has their own unique experience and their own unique story, and I'm looking forward to meeting those folks.
Very much. And for those folks that would like to find out more possibly about this ranch and a little bit about you and your research, is there any websites or social media or anything that people can go to kind of look at it a little bit?
Yeah, probably the best place to go right now that's the most active is our Facebook group, which is Oxford Paranormal Society. And you'll see a logo pop up that's a red and black logo, says Oxford Paranormal Society. Go ahead and click join. I'll approve. And I post their stuff from there time to time. You can also go to Facebook and look up Trey Hudson - author. And that's my personal page. And I post articles there sometimes and things that interest me, you know, some metaphysical, sometimes silly stuff. And it's just a good way to get to know everybody.
Awesome. Yes. Well, I am so much looking forward to meeting you at the conference, hearing your presentation and everyone else's. And that's going to be great. So looking forward to it. And until next time, everyone, we will see you soon. This year's Laughlin UFO Mega Conference is going to be the world's largest. It's going to feature over 35 scientists, researchers, and contactees, and they're going to present incredible new disclosures over 7 days. You can now register for the full week, half a week, or even by the day or session. And not only is there going to be over 35 amazing presentations, you get a Skywatch, meet and greet, you get film screenings, and you get to hang out with me. Go to their website, register now. It's LaughlinUFOMegaConference.com. Like I said, come hang out with me and over 35 of the most amazing people on the planet. Join us for an incredible 7 days of education and disclosure, the Laughlin UFO Mega Conference.